Hi, and welcome to TalkWord. I'm Marty Dundix, editor-in-chief of Weekly Humorous Magazine. This is TalkWord, where I have incredibly fun people come on to tell cringeworthy, hilarious stories. And my guest today is Ryan Sampson. Ryan is the host of The Morning Mashup on Sirius XM Hits 1. He is a good friend of mine. He's been a radio DJ professionally for how long?
I started my first job on the air where I got paid. I was 17 at WTIV in Titusville, Pennsylvania, my senior year of high school. December of my senior year of high school.
So you've been in radio a long time.
A long time.
Professional.
I guess so.
And as a radio person, knowing radio people, because I worked in radio for just a little bit, radio people are very interesting.
We've led interesting lives.
They seem different than regular people. There's something about being on the radio, being a disc jockey, that I don't know. They're just not normal folks. They're interesting. They're different.
It's a type of performer.
Yeah.
I mean, the same way that actors are different.
Definitely.
Like Johnny Depp, you would consider an eccentric personality.
Very.
Radio DJs are a type of performer that I think takes that type of eccentricity to make you a little different. And it's not the same as actors, but yeah, you're right. There can be some interesting people in any form of art.
And then, I mean, I talk to a lot of comedy writers, artists, performers on this kind of a show. And what you do on the morning show, and knowing that I've been on, knowing from being on a morning show before, when you're on a morning show, you are a performer, you're a writer, you're a comedian, you're a host, and it's a lot of things wrapped in one thing.
And it's every day.
Yeah, it's every day.
Like, that's the one thing that where I radio is definitely the redheaded stepchild of entertainment, because for so long there's been bad FM radio where it's been, you know, come down and see me at Mr. Mattress at 7 a.m. buy a mattress and get, you know, mention my name and get 10% off the mattress. It's been so bad for so long that the art of it's a little forgotten, but I remember that I did and I can't remember who this was, but I was doing an interview once with a television person, and he was talking about how rough 10 weeks of television was. And I'm like, dude, try doing 320 days a year.
Yeah.
Like, and coming up with something new every day. And he's like, oh, we could never do that.
Yeah. Or at 6 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like if you're doing a morning show, you're starting at 5:30, 6 a.m. You're doing a 4-hour show, you're getting there at 4 in the morning, you're doing prep.
I'm very lucky. I don't get there that early, but I get there. We go live at 7 a.m.
Which is luxurious.
Yes, it is. It is, because I'm a night person.
Yeah.
I'm a like, mornings is weird for me.
And how long have you been doing the morning mashup?
This is year 13.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it had been that long.
Yeah, it's year 13.
You know, I have two older sisters that live in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and they both have Sirius XM in their cars. And they didn't know that I was friends with you from college.
Okay.
But I mentioned it, like, much later on. I was like, oh, you know, Ryan Sampson. They're like, wait, Ryan Sampson from the Morning Mashup? And I'm like, yes. Oh, I listen to him every day. They're like, fans, big-time fans of the Morning Mashup. And then, like, years later, my sister Mary Alex came into New York with her husband, and you actually gave them a tour at the Sirius XM studios.
Yes.
And I was there, and I think we met Katy Perry or something.
Okay.
She was on the show that day, and you're like, oh, do you want to meet Katy Perry? And we're like, yeah, that'd be cool. And you did. It was just like, this is so cool. But it was like, I became like the cool brother. It's like, oh, I have famous friends, and you were my famous friend.
Which is weird.
Isn't it weird?
That's because I'm not famous.
Apparently you are. You're a nationally known morning show personality.
But I've been recognized in public exactly 2 times.
Really? Just by your voice?
I'm sorry, 3 times. No, 3 times. No, by face. Where?
By face?
Well,
when does anybody see you?
Once I was at a gas station.
Okay.
I can tell you all 3 times. Once I was at a gas station, and I paid with my credit card, and the dude saw my name on the credit card and went, are you the guy from the Morning Mashup? And I'm like, are you serious? Because he saw Ryan Sampson.
Yeah.
And I'm
it's a good name.
I'm like, all right. The second time, I was going to a Giants game at Giants Stadium, and here in New York City, we take the train, and I'm walking. Sorry, I'll put my phone on silent.
That's fine.
I'm walking down the aisle to find a seat, and some guy's like, oh, my God, Ryan Sampson. And his name was Adam, and he was some listener. He'd seen my picture on the website and recognized me. And about 2 years ago, I'm at a bar in my neighborhood, and I'm sitting with another radio friend who always makes fun of me for the type of stuff you're talking about that people say they always listen.
All right.
And this girl walks up to me. She's like, oh, my God, you're Ryan from the Morning Mashup. And I'm like, how do you know this? Those are the three times.
And that's crazy. I mean, like, to have.
And she wanted a picture with me, and her boyfriend was very upset about this.
Were you better looking than her boyfriend?
No.
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 But the thing about a morning show, and I've always been a fan of radio morning shows. Growing up in Baltimore, I was a huge fan of the Rouse and Company morning show.
Which I was an intern for.
WQSR, Good Time Oldies, 105.7 WQSR. I loved that show all growing up. Before that, I listened to Brian and O'Brien in the morning.
Big Don.
On B104.
Yeah.
Which is...
This is very Baltimore radio.
I have a t-shirt still that I won at a contest. It's a terrible drawing of Brian and O'Brien in the morning. And then years later, I ended up working at that Baltimore radio cluster, and Big Don O'Brien came back to the radio, and I got to meet him. And right. I was like, holy moly. you were a huge part of my childhood.
When I worked on the radio in Baltimore, Big Don was across the hall from me in another studio. I was doing nights on one station. He was in another. And I was not from Baltimore. I'd heard of the legend of Big Don. And
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in western Titusville, Pennsylvania,
okay,
which is 40 miles south of Erie, about 100 miles north of Pittsburgh.
Okay,
It's where oil was discovered.
Mm, hot damn.
Pennzoil, Quaker State, Standard Oil.
Black Gold.
Texas Tea. All in my hometown. Oh. Petroleum jelly was developed in my hometown.
Really?
Yeah. John Heisman played for my high school.
From the Heisman?
The Heisman Trophy. John Heisman played for my high school.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Titusville, Pennsylvania.
So how did you end up in Baltimore?
It was a western Pennsylvania steel town.
Okay.
Plant closed.
Yeah.
My dad got a job in Baltimore.
So you were in Baltimore like high school.
Okay. So yeah. So I did my freshman year of high school in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Sophomore and junior year at Perry Hall High School in Baltimore County.
Okay.
And hated it. I fucking hated it. Am I allowed to curse?
Sure. This is a podcast. No one gives a shit what happens. Checking.
I'm not allowed to on the morning mashup.
Is that really tough?
No. It's not.
Well, not because you're a radio professional. We don't cuss.
And my senior year, I went back to live with my grandparents in Pennsylvania because I hated my high school in Baltimore that much that I went back and lived with my grandparents in Titusville for my senior year, and then went to Syracuse University, where about a year later I met you.
Absolutely. So we met at Syracuse at a little radio station, WJPZ, Z89 Radio. And then Ryan actually got me – I think I met you like two times. And then you got me immediately an internship at an awesome Baltimore radio station cluster for that summer, which was awesome.
You interned with Rouse and Company, too.
Yeah.
I interned for them.
Well, I was an art student at Syracuse, and I couldn't get any sort of communications internships. So I was an art student that wanted to do communications, but I went to art school to do illustration, which I loved to do. But then also I ended up working at the radio station, which I also loved to do. And I wanted to do something for my internships that was communications related, only officially they wouldn't let me. Like they wouldn't let me get an internship at like a TV show or a radio station or anything. I couldn't do anything because I was a graphic design type person. And then
I was in the same situation because I was a history major.
Oh, really?
Right. I wasn't in a communication school either.
I didn't know that.
I never got there, which is a bigger story. But yeah, so go ahead.
No, I ended up getting a summer internship at Mix 106.5 and Big Time Oldies WQSR in Baltimore, which were like the biggest stations in the world at the time. Baltimore radio at that time was incredibly popular.
It was doing well.
Like that CBS cluster was it was the flagship, as they said, the flagship station of the Mid-Atlantic states. Remember when they used to have that on the air?
That was getting very specific.
The Mid-Atlantic states. But Steve Rouse was like the freaking mayor of Baltimore. He was
a very talented, very, very good
producer. I love that guy. That guy was great.
No, I love that show. I'll straight out admit how many things you and I both interned for him.
Yeah.
How many things I've stolen from him on the morning mashup?
I mean, I stole so much stuff from him just when I did my morning show on Z89, like that next year. But I asked him. I was like,
oh, you asked him?
I was like, Mr. Rouse.
I've never asked him.
Can I steal all of your bits and sound effects for my show? And he was like, Maynard G.
Yeah.
Maynard G was like, yeah, that's fine. Here are all of our sound effects. Just copy them and just use them.
I've never asked
If you listen to the morning show I did at Z89, I stole his entire morning opening. It's going to be a good, good morning. A good, good morning
meeting.
With the
William Tell Overture?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. The entire thing. I stole that. And he was like, yeah, you can do that.
See, the one that I
stole. I copied the entire opening of his show.
Steve Rouse always had.
I stole the Impossible Question.
Okay.
I stole the entire Impossible Question. I stole the way he closed his show. I stole everything.
He had a parody song of Elvis in the Ghetto. If you remember Elvis, Elvis Presley in the Ghetto, in a Speedo.
Well, I mean,
and later we figured out that my co-host Stanley T, when he was 19 years old, shot a campaign as a Speedo model.
And in so, a Speedo,
yeah. So now it's the morning mashup, Stanley T in a Speedo.
Well, he had fun thing about
I stole straight from Steve.
But the thing about him was he had an entire band that just did oldies parody songs. And he would do them live.
Was it a band or was it him?
It was him and Maynard.
He was in like a cover band that would perform at bars and they learned those songs. Right.
They like made a bunch of like parody songs based on oldie songs. And it was like instead of band on the run, it was band with the runs. It was just like a ton of that stuff. And it was so cheesy, but it was so funny.
Dude, and that's the trick to radio that I think a lot of people, like I said, there was a lot of bad radio done for a long time.
Yeah.
You just want to have fun. Yeah. Like some people go too cheesy and some people go too far. But at the end of the day, you just want to have fun. And if it makes you laugh, you hope it makes other people laugh.
So as a morning show person who does comedy in the morning and you need to get a very wide audience to love you without being dirty. So there's the allure of
saying – It's not hard to not be dirty.
I don't know.
Like you say that. It's not hard.
I feel like the standard for the Stern type stuff has been set where people want to be shocking and not just like approachable.
Right.
Approachable. And I feel like being approachable is easier. And that's
it's way easier.
That's probably your success.
It's, you know, I had a friend in college who I didn't know that this would be great advice for me, but he said basically that it's very easy to be shocking. It's very easy to swear. It's very easy to say something dirty. But to be clever is significantly harder.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? He's right.
That's why I like people like – I'm a fan of like a Jim Gaffigan or Jerry Seinfeld because they do comedy that doesn't rely on language.
Right. Dude, you can say
– You know what I mean?
You can – you know, I can reel off the seven words better than just about anybody.
Yeah.
Shit, fuck, piss, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, cunt. It's not that anybody can say those.
Yeah.
But to just, you don't have to go that shocking. Just have fun.
Exactly.
I just wanted to say I could do that.
You can. It's a podcast. No one cares.
Thank you. I don't get to do it. I started.
I know. You don't get to say that kind of stuff into a microphone ever.
Not on the mashup, but I just recently started doing a SiriusXM podcast.
Well, let's talk about that.
With another Z89 alumni.
Who?
Mark Zito.
Okay.
Mark's an extremely talented guy, and it's been a lot of fun. I've never, you know, I've always done Top 40 where it's very quick and immediate. So to do an hour-long talk show that I've been doing with him is a new experience.
And what's the talk show like? Is it just like a chat?
Mark and I are very good friends who like to argue with each other.
What do you argue about?
Anything that's happening.
Okay.
I guarantee you we always have different opinions.
Did you talk about the Bachelor finale?
We talked about the Bachelor finale a little. We've been talking
about... I watched a little bit of that.
He doesn't watch the NCAA tournament. We talked about that recently. Emotional support.
I only watch college basketball during the NCAA tournament.
Really?
Yeah, kind of. I mean,
Syracuse, are you an NBA fan?
Syracuse hasn't been doing that well, so I haven't really been watching.
But they didn't deserve in the tournament this year. But are you an NBA fan?
No, I'm not. I'm not a huge basketball fan.
I hate the NBA.
You know, I feel. You know, this is what I think about the NBA. I feel like everything comes down to the final 2 minutes of any game. It's usually within about 7 points. It's like you end up being at like 78-82 or something by like the final end of the game, and every game is decided in the last 2 minutes of the game.
Unless
it's a blowout.
My problem with the NBA is there's no team. They never pass the ball. Whoever has the ball, when they bring it down the court, shoots it.
Yeah.
There's no team. Why is there four other people on the court? You have the ball. You're going to shoot it.
Right. Well, when they had that like dream team for the Magic, that was fun.
Dude, that was like 25 years ago. For the Magic, not the Olympic dream
team. Not the Olympic dream team. No, when they did the whole thing where they put everybody really good on like one team for like 2 years and then they all broke it up.
I don't know.
No?
No, dude, I haven't watched an NBA game in years.
I haven't really either. So for being a morning show host, I think it's interesting because I come from a radio background. I'm working in comedy writing and production now. But I think that being a radio morning show host makes you have to be a comedy writer and a comedy performer all in one. And how do you find to like be funny live? I feel like a lot of people, they spend a lot of time to be funny in writing that I work with. And they also hone their craft to be stand-up comics. And they want to do, you know, stand-up comedy in front of a crowd. But you actually have to be a radio morning show host where you're doing comedy performing in a – you're basically improv.
Yeah.
Because you have to be funny conversationally on a daily basis.
But yet I can't write it.
Do you ever write anything out?
Dude, like, what kind of show prep do you I've been trying – I have 7 to 10 screenplays in my
– Do you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that I've written – three of them I've attempted to be comedies, and the people that have read them have said, well, these are really interesting, but it's not funny. And those are the ones that I wanted to be comedies. I can't write it. I'm really like good at the snarky, you know, quip on the fly.
Yeah.
But I can't write it. I just can't. I wish I could. I think all the time I'd like to try stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And I'll go through something in my head that happens situationally in life, and like, oh, I should take notes on this, and I don't, and then it's gone.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do stand-up comedy.
But the thing about radio morning show comedy that I think is so interesting is when you have a interesting, captivating radio morning show that's successful, it's because the listener is the fourth person in the room, right? So if there's three people on the morning show, the listener is the fourth friend, and you guys are just like a team that's
we
funny
involve
people.
A lot of phone calls.
Yeah.
And I try to not make them the fourth person I want to be interactive.
Yeah.
And I know exactly what you're saying, that you know what I mean? That for the most part they are, but we try to get as many phone calls in as possible. So we are doing that interaction. So but go ahead.
That's what you want. You want that fourth person to be
the
live.
I don't want to just be like the three
listener.
Of us making jokes at people. Like, I want us to be talking back and forth.
But you're interactive. Like, people do call in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what makes radio different from stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Or from television, is that we do, you know, a large part of our show is that we just throw out questions that we think are going to make people react, and we hope we get their good stories back.
And it's tough. I mean, like, how things have evolved social media-wise in the past 10 years, to do a radio morning show, it's not just about doing audio on the radio. You have to be on the Instagram and the Twitter and all that stuff and the Snapchat.
Dude, I'm awful.
But other people do it for you.
Not really. I mean, we had the Morning Mashup account.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. But my
so, like, you have to be all over then.
My personal stuff, dude, I'm awful at it. I hate social media. I hate it.
It's hard to keep up with the amount of stuff.
It's not only hard to keep up, but it's just not what I do.
Yeah.
You feel this pressure that you have to do it.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not what I do. I can't. I'm not that narcissistic.
You talk.
I talk with two other people.
Yeah.
I have two really good friends that we think we find a conversation that if we were in a restaurant and other people were listening to us, they would want to listen to us.
Right.
I can't turn a camera on myself on Instagram and go like, look how awesome I am. I just can't do it. And I know I'm supposed to do that,
right.
But I can't.
It's hard.
And, you know, that's why Letterman said he retired, right?
Yeah, it was just too much. It was too much stuff for him to keep up with.
He's like,
he was just like, I'm done with all this.
I can't make a viral video,
right? He was like, he was competing with, you know, like Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel, who were all doing all of the Snapchatting and all of the goddamn stuff. And he was like, this isn't what I signed up for,
right? And my life is not that interesting.
No,
like I can go on and I can make stupid, silly jokes about whatever's happening that day in the news.
Yeah.
But I can't turn the camera on myself and go, look how great I am.
Why I'm on radio, for God's sakes.
I'm not that great. Like, it's just...
You're like, my life sounds great.
And, you know, like, I read these stories that they say that casting agents in Hollywood now, they don't even care how talented you are. They just care how many followers you have.
That's true.
And I'm not going to win that battle. It's really frustrating.
Yeah. It's tough to get all the followers.
I have a friend.
It's a hustle.
I have a friend who did development for a television network, and we were at a party in Florida 2 or 3 months ago, and I'm like, dude, when are you guys on TV going to get over the stand-up comics? He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, all you do is hire stand-up comics for your hosting gigs,
yeah,
and your show will last the season and a half, and it gets canceled. He's like, well, I'm like, well, hire radio guys. I'm like, the biggest hosts in television are all radio guys.
Yeah, like Ryan Seacrest is a radio guy.
Jimmy Kimmel is a radio guy. Tom Bergeron.
Yep.
Is a radio guy.
Yep.
Like, the biggest hosts on Carson Daly
Billy,
is a radio
Billy
guy.
Billy Bush. The Bush League Morning Show out of D.C.
They're all radio
guys.
And it's because... We do this every day, and I get it that some of us are very boring
and not good looking enough. Not that you're not good looking, Ryan Sampson. He's a catch. For the ladies listening, find him online.
But you know, I feel like sometimes the people that do radio get left out.
Oh, totally. We're like in the, you know, it's like the dregs of the entertainment industry.
It is.
In the dark corners with a microphone is the radio DJ.
And it makes sense because the sales managers have been making us say, you know, come to Mr. Tire at 6 a.m. on a Sunday and meet me and buy tires because that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
I get it.
Come to the Herondale Mall and visit with radio people and get a t-shirt.
And there's listen, I've thought internally about doing stand-up comedy for a long time. I think I should be able to do it. And part of me is like, wait, these guys write like 20 jokes and then they run on them for about 18 months.
Yeah.
You know, they've written their good 20, and they're good 20 jokes, but they run on them for 18 months, and I have to go on every day, and I can't do the same joke over and over. I have to come
Not
up,
at all.
I have to come up with something new every day.
So what you're doing, I think it's a different
set. I wish I could do stand-up comedy, but I can't.
If you did stand-up, you could repeat the same set for months.
Because you're playing a different
and you
crowd.
And you hone it. So you have the time.
I play the same crowd every day.
You play the same crowd every day, and you have to come up with an absolutely new set of jokes every single morning.
And you can use the same joke in a different way. You just have to learn to twist it that little bit.
Yeah, but it has to be relevant to like what happened today. Like, you have to be so topical. It's insane.
A lot of times you do. And
it's a grind.
It is. dude, it's fun. But getting up in front of an audience of 50 people and doing stand up is horrifying. I don't know if I could ever do it.
So what's your audience? You do the morning mashup on Sirius XM. Hits one.
Yeah.
Channel every two. Every morning. Monday through Friday.
Uh-huh.
What's your audience reach estimated for that group?
I have no idea, dude.
We're going to say 800,000 people. We're going to say 2 million people. We're going to say 10 million people.
We're somewhere in that range.
Really? That's great.
I don't know.
Considering that both of my sisters, who don't know you independently from me, listen to you, I'm going to say that a lot of people listen to you.
SiriusXM has 30 million plus subscribers, and if you think about it,
a lot of them are hit music subscribers.
Now, I probably am getting into danger here because they're very. I'm very specific on what I'm allowed to say, but there's 30 million something subscribers, and you know, like if you think about it, a family has one subscription in their family car, but there's four people in the family.
Yeah, absolutely. So like Netflix. God, there's like 90 people on my Netflix account.
Exactly. Same thing. So there's 30 million something subscribers, and how many people are actually listening and hits one, the top 40 station,
yeah,
is very well represented.
Yeah. I mean, your station is like the main thing people listen to.
It's one of them.
And also in every rental car in like the country, you get like an option of like a couple of stations on Sirius and so on. There's like a couple of options for like the trial rental car option,
yeah,
that you have. Like if you get a Hertz car, you get like four channels.
You get Hits One. You get Alt-Nation, like, probably. And
right.
Do you get Howard?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think you get Hits One.
You want the family station.
I think you get the good. I think you get the regular stuff.
Yeah.
But I've definitely heard your station on rental cars. I also hear your station on JetBlue.
Yeah.
So I listen to you.
We're the default station on the JetBlue map.
You are.
That's one of the greatest. We're the default station on the JetBlue map.
Yeah, you definitely are. I'll be flying JetBlue to either Florida or Syracuse or, you know, if I fly to Los Angeles, I always fly JetBlue. And it's always on Sirius Hits One. And it's almost, I love it when you guys are on because it is the morning mashup. And I'm like, I know all those people. That's crazy.
You do.
I know those. I know it's like I'm the fourth person in a fun conversation, but I've actually had real conversations with all four of those people, and I've hung out with them, and it's great.
I like to think that
they are really that nice. they just don't sound nice. They actually are that nice. Like, I could definitely, we could all go on vacation together.
Yeah. Actually, please, let's do.
Well, I'm excited. You're buying a lake house.
And
now that I've heard this, we are definitely going to go to the lake house together. That sounds awesome.
So I grew up a redneck in Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I've lived in New York City for 13 years. I don't get to fish anymore. Dude, I grew up, my summers in high school, I went fishing every morning. Like, I would fish three times a day.
A lot of fishing.
I grew up a redneck in the middle of nowhere, 40 miles from the nearest interstate. Like literally 40 miles from the nearest four-lane road. There was nothing to do. I went fishing a lot, and I haven't for years since I've lived in big cities.
Yeah.
And so I'm buying a lake house on a large lake that has muskie in it. I'm gonna catch a muskie.
What kind of fish did you catch when you were growing up?
Trout and smallmouth bass.
Okay.
And largemouth, but trout and smallmouth bass. Smallmouth bass and muskie are the thing. I've never landed a muskie.
Are you good at filleting?
No.
And all that stuff?
No, but I'm going to learn. In fact, part of my new, like, because I'm getting, you know, I've aged in life. Part of my new thing is the bluegill are the easiest fish to catch in the world. They taste delicious. I'm going to learn how to fillet them since I now am going to have my own dock.
Is that like a whitefish?
I guess they would be like, well, you know, don't know what a bluegill or a sunfish is?
I know what a sunfish is.
All right, same thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, they're small. Sunfish are small.
Yeah, they're tiny. But you fillet enough of them, you got a meal. So.
Yeah, you get a bunch. You mill them together, and you got something
exactly.
going.
Exactly. So I'm going to learn how to do this.
I think there's laws against the weight and size of a fish you can
no,
catch.
No, not those, because they're everywhere.
Oh, you're, they hate them?
I mean, like.
They're not protected. They're like,
what,
no.
You know what the babies are, dude. You're not going to. Yeah, you're going to put the baby back. You know what those are. But, like, when they're adults, you're gonna eat them.
Sunfish. Done.
They taste good.
I bet. What else do I want to ask you? Oh, you have to tell me a horrible story. Oh, this is a very interesting story. So the randomly, okay, so Ryan Sampson and I knew each other from forever ago. He got, oh, God. Okay, so one funny story that I love is, so we worked at Mix 106.5 and Big Time Oldies, WQSR.
Good Time Oldies. Oldies.
I'm sorry. Good Time Oldies, 105.7 WQSR, Catonsville, Baltimore. And we were driving the prize van together for a promotion, and we had made a deal with Subway sandwiches.
Okay, already? I don't know this story.
It's fine.
I can't wait to hear it.
So you did this, and
I know exactly what's gonna. I know.
So we had a promotion at a place. I think it was like a car dealership or something. And he Ryan made a deal with a Subway sandwich place, and he thought we were getting a 6 foot sub to feed the listeners.
Yes.
And instead, we got like 6 6-inch subs.
Yes.
So we thought we were going to have all this food. So we went to pick up the subs in the prize van, thinking it was going to be like this gigantic, monstrous submarine sandwich.
We were supposed to get 6 6-foot subs.
Yes, 6 6-foot subs. It was going to be a tremendous amount of food. And we showed up, and it was like 6 6-inch subs. And they were like, here. And we're like, are you kidding me? We can't possibly do this. And like Ryan's face in the van was just like, oh my God, what have I done? I've ruined everything. And we had to like call the station manager, and we're like, cancel all the orders, cancel all the on-air mentions for Subway sandwiches immediately.
Now.
Cut them. And we had to order like a ton of pizza or something. It was just like we had to get food immediately to this car dealership in Baltimore.
I totally forgot about that.
It was so, it was like the pan, you were just like, wait, what did I do? It was so funny.
Completely forgot.
And I was like a freshman in college. This is like my first internship, and it was like dealing with a crisis. It was awesome. Cancel the mentions. Pull the mentions. Pull everything Subway related immediately.
This is one of my biggest failures in life.
And we're going to eat these 6-inch subs right now because we still kept the sandwiches.
Yeah, and they were all like the generic Italian ones.
Yeah, it was all like the cold cut combos. Yeah.
There was no roast beef in there. There was no roast beef at all.
That was awesome. So much fun. That was like my first experience in radio sales.
And it was, you know what the screwed up part was? Is it was to go to like a Ford dealership at 7 in the morning on a Saturday.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Where maybe two people would show up.
No one's going to come.
And we were ordering 6 6-foot subs.
And we were like setting up all this remote broadcasting stuff. Like, hey, come on down to the Baltimore Ford dealership. Yeah. Get some t-shirts and some 6 foot subs. It's going to be fantastic.
By the way,
buy a new Corolla.
I are we allowed to say how much beer we drank on your podcast?
Sure. I mean,
we're almost out. Should we pause and go get more?
I think it's closed up.
Oh no!
You can have that.
Are you sure? Well, we got the same amount. I drank
this
faster.
Podcast apparently... is brought to you by WeWork. WeWork, great office spaces, co-working in New York City and beyond.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So you wanted an awkward story.
Yeah, what's your awkward story?
So I this is a choose-your-own-adventure.
Oh, quick awkward story for you.
Okay.
So we hadn't seen each other in a very long time.
Yes.
You were working in Montana? Minnesota.
Nebraska.
So you were
KFRX Lincoln, Nebraska.
So you were at a cluster in Nebraska for years, a couple of years.
Oh, that's another awkward story.
Right?
My hashtag Me Too moment in Nebraska.
Is that what that is?
Oh, there is definitely one there, yeah.
So we end up reconnecting in Brooklyn at a trivia night.
Yes!
Right?
Yes!
So I've lived in Brooklyn, in Park Slope, Brooklyn, since 2002, a long time. And I was at a trivia night with a couple of friends at a bar where our friend bartended. And then out of nowhere, Ryan Sampson is sitting at a table next to me on another trivia team. And I was like, hey.
I still do trivia to this day.
Ryan Sampson. I haven't seen you in... years. What's going on? You've been where? Nebraska? And you were working in Nebraska at a cluster, and you had just come to New York to work at Sirius.
Yeah.
And I had just stopped working, or I still was working at Letterman.
Right.
And then there was a girl.
This just came up on This Is Happening with Mark Zito and Ryan Sampson.
Really?
Go ahead. I know where you're going.
Well, there was a girl that was an intern. I was working at Letterman.
I miss her.
And I said something about, I don't know how we got on this. Oh, I said something like, I'm working at Letterman. I worked at Letterman when I first came to the city. I worked at Letterman from 02 until like 04 in the audience department and doing some production stuff for the audience to people that were on TV and blah, blah, blah. And And Ryan was like, oh, there's a girl that I know that's an intern there. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. How do you know her? And tell them how you knew her, Ryan.
She did film work.
What kind of film work, Ryan?
If you she had starred in intimate films.
So she was like an internet.
I feel bad about this years later.
So she was like an internet porn star.
She wasn't an internet. No, not internet. She was a VHS porn star.
No, she wasn't because there was photos. There was she had photos.
Yeah, but trust, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
and it was not internet.
It was internet because there was internet. I saw the internet anyway. It was very interesting.
Correct. And dude, this
and just, I was like, really? This
literally just came up on the podcast on Sirius.
So what's the podcast on Sirius that people can listen to? What's it called?
It's called This Is Happening with Mark Zito and Ryan Sampson. Where literally, we didn't talk about this. This story that you just brought up came up this week that I knew two adult film stars when I lived in Lincoln, Nebraska. Who would ever think that when you live in Nebraska, you become friends with adult film stars? I became friends with two of them in Lincoln, Nebraska.
I just remember being – I never said anything to her, and I never said anything about it.
And thank you for that.
And I just was like, hi.
Talked about on the show is that I felt really awful for her because I think it's something she didn't want people to know.
Definitely. Obviously.
And people found out and
did they?
Cruel to her.
I did not know that.
They were very cruel to her. So the fact you didn't say anything I think is
– No, I would never say anything. I wouldn't know what to say.
No, but a lot of drunk assholes do know what
to say. Would they know? I don't know. I feel like people are very anonymous online.
This was before online, dude. This was before that. This is, dude, she was it was a VHS thing.
But I mean, in 02, things were still kind of internet-y.
But no, this was before that.
All right. Well, I saw things that were not that were internet-y. I thought.
All right. So you want my awkward story?
What's your awkward story?
I've arranged several of them for you. And so I'm going to make this a choose-your-own-adventure.
Okay.
I'll give you some options.
Sure.
Or I'll tell all of them. I don't care.
I mean, you can. We have no out time.
There's two celebrity.
Stories. I like everything.
There's two celebrity awkward moments. Oh, and you just reminded me of one, and now I forgot it. And then one of mild incest.
Mild? How is it mild? Just the tip?
See, I think that was the one that I wanted to tell. That was the one I decided on. See, that was a good tease. I did I was on a wine tour once.
Okay.
Where it was one of these, a Groupon, get on a bus and go on a wine tour of the Lehigh Valley of Pennsylvania.
Sounds lovely.
Love, like when I think wine.
I think Lehigh Valley.
I think Lehigh Valley. So it was go on a wine tour of the Lehigh Valley of Pennsylvania. And this whole thing started that it was like 9 a.m., but there was a bridal party on the bus because it was a large bus of people. And there was a bridal party bus. And then like one of the bridesmaids wasn't showing up, so we sat there for 45 minutes to wait on the late bridesmaid at 9 in the morning. And we went to the Lehigh Valley, and we toured several wineries and then got on the bus back to New York City. And by this time, it's dark. Now, it's May, so it's maybe 7, 8 o'clock at night, and it's dark. And I'm sitting near the back of the bus, and there's maybe 10 people in my group, and there's all sorts of groups on the bus.
Right.
One of the groups that was sitting near us on the bus is that there were these two brothers who had both brought their girlfriends. And we'd all occupied the same seats on the bus from 9 in the morning until 8 at night doing the tour of the Lehigh Valley wineries. Right. And we're on the way back, and everyone starts passing out. Like, everyone's drunk. We're lucky. There wasn't a lot of puking on the bus, and everyone's passing out. The brothers who had – no, they're not in my group.
Okay.
So my group's kind of sitting around them, and we'd all drank a lot, and we'd all had a good time. And my group's kind of sitting around, and there this other group of four people, and they were two brothers and each of their girlfriends. The two brothers pass out, and we're on the bus. It's dark. Feels like it's 2 in the morning, but it's really 8 because we're all that drunk. And the girlfriends are still awake. Now, it seems like the one girlfriend had been dating the one brother for a long time. The other girlfriend was relatively new. And I'm awake. Most people are asleep, but I'm awake. And there's maybe two or three other people in my group of 10 that are awake. And they were all sort of seated around them at the back of the bus. And there was a conversation. And the girlfriend, who had been with the brother the longest, mentioned something about the two brothers and their masturbation habits.
Interesting.
That they would jerk off together.
Really? That's odd.
No, I'm guessing this group of people, all four of them had just turned 21.
Okay.
And the one girlfriend mentions that her boyfriend jerks off with her brother. And the newest girlfriend is like, wait, what? And then there was a discussion and then a fight. And I'm like, what do you mean you jerk off with your brother? And we're all on the bus and there's nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go on the bus. You're locked in.
We're locked, dude. It was like, what the fuck is happening?
So what happened?
They broke up.
Did they?
Oh, yeah. They definitely broke up right there on the bus. I mean, the girl was apparently okay with it. She knew that her boyfriend jerked off with his brother.
Yeah, she was fine with it.
And she was fine with it.
Yeah.
But the new girl in the equation, not when the news it. Was broken to her,
yeah.
she was not okay with
not
it.
Not into it.
She was not into it and definitely woke the drunken brother up and broke up with him.
She was like, excuse me, I'm waking you up just to let you know that we're done. And you should probably stop jerking off with your brother.
You wanted an awkward story.
And now I'm getting off the bus.
No, she didn't know. Dude, we had another hour to go.
I'm going
to
move over here next to Ryan Sampson, host of SiriusXM's Morning Mashup. And I'm going to hang out with him.
But all of us were just trying to pretend that we were asleep and not listening to this.
Because he jerks off by himself, like a normal person, not with a sibling.
No, we were just like, we're not here. We're all asleep. Leave us out of this. Please.
Don't talk to us. We're fine.
Please.
That's very awkward.
That was an awkward.
That's an awkward situation.
That was an awkward
That's
situation.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
When or where?
Where? No, when?
This was 2010 to 12-ish.
Okay, that's not that long ago.
No, it wasn't that long ago at all. Dude, I just remember how, like, I sunk in my seat, like, I want nothing to do with this. First of all, I'm listening, like, oh my God.
That's crazy.
This is really happening right now. And the girlfriend that was telling the other girlfriend was so casual about it.
She's like, it's cool.
Yeah, she's like, you know, they like, jerk off together.
It's, like, fun for them. It's like playing video games. You know? No? That's weird.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah.
That's not like playing video games.
Oh, and just imagine a day of wine behind it.
Wow.
It was a good time. It was a very good time.
Well, that's a fun story. Thank you, Ryan Sampson.
I'm glad you enjoyed.
I did. You had multiple more stories?
God, what was the one you reminded me of that I forgot?
We'll do one. We can do one more.
You do one more?
I mean, let's just do one more.
This is since we talk so much about the Morning Mashup.
Yes, I love the Morning Mashup.
This is one of my favorite. For a very long time, you're aware of Bruce Morrow, Cousin Brucey.
Yeah, oh yeah, Cousin Brucey, big time, of course.
Cousin Brucey, for anybody who doesn't know, Cousin Brucey's one of the best music radio DJs of all time.
Mm-hmm.
He brought the Beatles on stage at Shea Stadium, the famous Beatles Shea Stadium concert. He's in Dirty Dancing.
Where is he in Dirty Dancing?
He's the MC.
Oh, wow.
He's you can hear him on the radio and Across the Universe if you've ever seen that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's Cousin Brucey. He was, you know, back in the AM days where AMs would boom across the country.
Yeah.
He was one of the big guys. So, the morning, Cousin Brucey works on SiriusXM now. He hosts a show on Saturdays and Wednesdays. And we shared a studio with him. Now, he's Cousin Brucey. This guy, he brought the Beatles on stage at Shea Stadium. Like, I wish.
He's a legend.
He's a legend. And so the studio that he used was decorated with his photos, that all over the studio walls were his photos. And for the first years of the morning mashup, this was the studio we used.
Right.
And so every morning we were surrounded in a shrine of Cousin Brucey. We got very lucky. And they asked us once, they're like, hey, would you guys like to have Tony Bennett as a guest? And we're like, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
We'd love to have Tony Bennett as a guest. So Tony Bennett comes in and we do an interview with him, and he's, you know, he's Tony Bennett. He's great. And we're done with it. And we're looking around and we're in Cousin Brucey's studio and we see a picture of Tony Bennett and Cousin Brucey from the 1960s adorning the studio. And they're held on hooks, and I pull the photo off. I'm like, Tony, I can't believe this. There's a picture of you and Cousin Brucey here. Would you, you know what? You should sign this picture for Cousin Brucey. And Tony Bennett is like, you want me to sign the picture for Cousin? I'm like, yeah, sign that. So he signs a picture. Later that day, I hang the picture back on the wall. I'm not even half paid. Like, there's so much going on. We're taking the picture. We're just doing it quick. I hang the picture back on the wall. Later that day, Cousin Brucey comes in because it's a Wednesday to do a show. And we're like, Cuz, we saw Tony Bennett was on the show today and we had him sign your picture. He's like, Tony Bennett signed the picture?
Uh-oh.
Like, yeah, Tony Bennett signed the picture. He's like, no, really? And so Cousin Brucey's in his 80s these days, right? But he's...
What happened?
Cuz is still with it. He's like, I can't believe he signed it. And we're like, hold on. Let's go look. And so the Cuz and the morning mashup, the four of us, or sorry, five of us at the time, walk back to the studio. And he's telling us, he's like, Tony Bennett and I don't get along.
Yeah, like, I was like,
what do you mean, Tony? You don't get along with Tony. First of all, what do you mean you don't get along with Tony Bennett?
Did he fuck his wife?
Who? I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. We go into the studio. We pick the picture off the wall. And, dude, I swear to God, it says, Dear Cousin Brucey, please don't play my records, Tony Bennett.
It's like, Cousin Brucey, fuck you.
Yeah. He's like, please don't play my records, Tony Bennett. I'm like, dude, I was like, I'm looking at, he's like, yeah, we haven't gotten along for like 4 decades.
Did he ever tell you why?
No, he never told me why.
He won't tell you why?
Won't tell me why.
Mystery.
But Tony Bennett knew this too, because he's like, don't play my records.
He knows. They all know. I'm sure it's something terrible.
But I think it was something about a song or something that somebody must have said. I don't think it was about either of their wives.
I feel like it's always about a girl. I don't know. I feel like all those old, really angry things are always about a girl.
He was so shocked. He's like, wait, Tony Bennett signed my picture?
Like, Tony Bennett hasn't talked to me in 25 years.
For them, it's more like 50 years.
50 years. That's awesome. Good story, Ryan Sampson.
I'm glad you
approved. You're full of hilarious stories.
Oh, I've had my day.
We're going to have you back on the show.
Please.
The morning mashup is on
SiriusXM. Hits 1 Monday through Friday when you wake up.
6 to 10 a.m. No. Officially?
No. 6 to noon officially.
Oh, because it keeps on running.
Eastern time.
Depending on the time.
So it would be zone. 3 a.m. to 9 a.m. West.
3 a.m. to 9 a.m. 3 a.m. to
So it's just much easier to say weekdays when you wake up.
Every weekday, the morning mashup. We've got Ryan Sampson, we got Stanley T.
And Nicole.
We got Nicole.
Yeah.
And that's it right now?
No, those are the three.
Those are the mains.
There's producer Ben.
Producer Ben, okay.
There's Ben Harlem, who's our producer, but yeah, it's Nicole Stanley.
That's awesome. What do you guys have coming up this week?
Scott Eastwood.
That's awesome.
We'll be coming up on Monday. And, dude, I'm going to meet Luke Skywalker.
Are you really?
Yeah. Mark Hamill's going to be on the show next week.
Really?
Yeah.
In person?
In person. I can't believe it. Like, dude, I'm going to meet Luke Skywalker.
Where can people follow you to see these kind of photos?
At Mashup Ryan is my Twitter. At Ryan5Ampson is my Instagram.
At 5Ampson?
Yeah, because the Ryan at Ryan Sampson. It was probably taken by that. It's that fucking British actor.
Is there a British actor named Ryan Sampson?
Yeah, who has me blocked on Twitter. We're friends on Instagram.
What a bastard.
I think him and I should do the Ryan Sampson show.
You should.
We're like, really, where it's just the two of us hosting a variety show would be awesome.
Who is the best Ryan Sampson?
I'm
fight to the
gonna
death.
Promote his stuff that he has a comedy on ITV in England, and he was in Harry Potter. He's apparently a talented actor, but he blocked me on Twitter.
Well, I hate this guy. Not a fan.
I think we should do the Ryan Sampson show.
Out
there.
I'm tagging him when we put this out.
You actually please.
I
do.
Want him to hear this. I want him to hear the real Ryan Sampson.
I wrote him an Instagram instant message. I'm like, dude, why do you block me? And he didn't write back. And he even started like a
what a wimp.
He started a thing on Instagram of like trying to connect all the Ryan Sampsons in the world because there's
then there's you, obviously, the other most famous Ryan Sampson.
No, there's a guy in Boise. There's a local musician, a very talented musician in Boise, Idaho, named Ryan Sampson. He's on that thread too.
And you're not?
No, we are. We all are.
But are you actually connected now, or did he block
you?
No,
the Ryan Sampson in England, who's on, I forget the name of his TV show. I should know this now. I feel bad because I'm trying to be nice to him. But he won't write me back.
What a son of a bitch.
Nah, don't say that about him.
Please ignore my opinions on you, other Ryan Sampson. I don't mean it. I don't know. I'm sure you're very nice. Well, this was fun.
Dude, I'm glad you had me in.
Yeah, this is great. Okay, well. This has been Talkward. I appreciate you listening. I'm Marty Dundix, editor-in-chief of Weekly Humorous Magazine.
My story was awkward.
You're awkward. Your story was so awkward, it was like double awkward.
Okay, good.
Okay? It was like two times Talkward. Okay? And I know that you have a lot more, so...
we'll come back another day.
You'll definitely come back another day for that. Ryan Sampson was the guest. Ryan Sampson is the host of the Morning Mashup on Sirius XM. Sirius Hits 1. Please listen to him. Every weekday morning. He's a very talented, wonderful morning show host. This has been Talkward. We are distributed by Humorist Media. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.